woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, most of the Saxon Giants, I'm Tom Al. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us. We have a special guest appearance today. Not appearance, but calling from Mr. Brendan Cornan regarding all these pardons and stuff. And Kevin and I feel qualified to talk about the politics and our opinions, but we thought maybe a pretty good idea to have a lawyer on here to define what all this stuff actually means, because you might actually want to know what some of it means before you talk about it, Kevin, at least in some shows, not all, you know. Just saying.
No, I think we should just spout off. No thought, no measure, just go.
The S&P futures up 850, Dow futures up 77, NASDAQ futures up 35, and I am not going to opine on the whether certain stocks are buys or sells, but let's just say that from the various places I come in contact with investors during the day, the amount of calls yesterday of people, hey, do you think this Apple's this great buy down here? Well, it's down $10 from an all-time high, and it was up $170 last year. Yeah, but man, it's down like $10. It's a buy. Whatever you want to do. Just tell me how much you want to
buy. More tomorrow, buy. Yeah,
I mean, it's like we talk about what we've done with the low interest rates and how we've driven people, especially retired people, to an absolute froth on some of these things. It's just so here's an article something I'm going to say you would not give an A headline grade to, Kevin. It's never been this hard for companies to find qualified workers. Really, never? Never's a long time, as they used to say on the trading floor.
Well, it is a long time, but that is a very, very common complaint right now. Whether it's a function of our country in general not training people well for the kinds of jobs that are available, or that we have a lot of people working and it's hard to find more. But I don't think it's hard to get people to move to a good company. I don't think that's the case at all, because there's a lot of people out there who are perfectly willing to quit their bosses that, you know, they don't feel like they're led very well. And So I think that there is opportunity to steal employees from other companies, but in terms of quantity, I know in our area we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of open manufacturing-related jobs that, it's everything we can do to come up with the talent for them to fill them.
Well, I think everybody is in this. I'm not going to disparage younger people. What's the point? Everybody's in this view that I should be able to get...
Oh, no, we should definitely, that's part of the, we get to say get off of my lawn and everything at our
that's
age.
That's true. I just have this idea that everybody feels like they should get everything everywhere. I mean, whoever you think that, whoever wrote that article should go back and read a whole bunch of stuff on World War II and how the armed forces were essentially fighting the manufacturing people for people. And that you all of a sudden you took, when I talk about Rosie the Riveter and all the amazing contribution that women made in manufacturing, I'm going to say as much as anybody that women can do the job, but do you think they showed up trained? Do you think they were any less trained than somebody is today to show up for a job?
No, but you know what? From the most forward-thinking employers that that I meet, they just say, you know, we want a skill set, and we'll train the specific skills of the job. There's a lot of willingness to do that. It is really, the conversation almost always goes like this. What are you looking for in employees? Answer, well, can you get me people who show up every day on time? That is inevitably the first words out of everybody's mouth. But once we get past that, then they start saying, well, yeah, we need people who know how to do some research, how to solve problems, how to work in teams, how to work in a diverse world, and everything that diversity means. It's ethnic, it's economic backgrounds, it's educational backgrounds, but it's also age, because you go into the workplace nowadays and there's, you know, at least four generations in almost every workplace now. So you get all those are all the factors that they're finding most difficult to get.
I would say you're probably right. All right, we have Brendan. We have a special guest because we figured we might want an attorney here for talking about all the pardons. Some of the people, well, you have the whole list, Brendan. I know there's Blagojevich, and there was the police chief from New York, and then Eddie DeBartolo, various different degrees of stuff these guys got pardoned for.
But they all have one thing in common. It's all white county collar crime that involves fraud of some sort. Fraud or something along those lines.
Why don't you go through what the definition of Blagojevich had his sentence commuted.
Yeah, there were two things that happened yesterday. Several people, like Mike Milken, like Perkin, and some of those, and Eddie DeBartolo, have received a pardon. That means effectively that their crimes have been expunged. They are no longer deemed to be convicted of their crime. In the case of Blagojevich, his sentence was commuted. He had another 4 years to run. Trump says, forget about that time. Whatever time he's got served is enough. He gets out, and in fact, he's home. He was home last night at his home in Ravenswood. So the process worked quickly enough for him to get out of jail as of yesterday. Now, he is still convicted of a crime. He is still a felon with all of the ramifications of that. The others have received a pardon, which means no harm, no foul. Everything is gone. You're back to normal.
Brendan,
why would they? Why would just generically speaking, why would a president choose one over the other? If someone was convicted by a jury, why would you overturn? I mean, I could get if you think it was an unfair conviction. I know the woman who was kind of the poster child for the crime bill was overly prosecuted. But what should drive that decision?
Well, what should drive it, or what has driven it here? I mean, one of the things is,
well, yeah, I can't read the president's mind, and I would probably go nuts trying. So, I guess. You know what would be a basis for choosing one versus the other?
Well, one basis is, are they still in jail? Like Blagojevich is still in jail. Now, he could have received a pardon. Trump could have said, "I pardon Mark Blagojevich," and so he gets out of jail free as of today, and his crime goes away. But he didn't go that far. It's unclear why he chose, for a couple of folks to just commute their sentences instead of giving them a pardon. In the case of people like DeBartolo and Milken and Kirkin, they've served their time. Milken was done 15, 20 years ago with serving his crime.
Right.
But Trump is now saying, hey, forget all about that. That really didn't happen. If you really want to be a cynic, you could say that Trump is in the process of rewriting history. Things no longer are what they seem.
Well, there's been a creep also, and I don't know. I mean, I know how this has worked in our industry. There's been a creep also. There are creeps around, but not that kind of creep. When I started the business, you could be you could have a Series 7, you could trade on the trading floor, as long as you didn't have a property crime type of thing. In other words, the joke always was, because it was true, you could have killed somebody and been a trader.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but then they said, okay, any felony. So if you have a felony drunk driving arrest or conviction, you essentially can't be a trader, can't have a Series 7, can't be on a board trade, which, one is, as far as I'm concerned, one has nothing to do with the other. And also, I don't think you can vote if you're a felon, right? They have a felony record. So essentially...
It depends. Most places you cannot. In most cases, once you're convicted of a felony, you are ineligible to vote.
So what it means is a guy like Milken, in my opinion, again, that's why we have you here, Brennan, he can now go get his Series 7 license again because he was essentially banned from the industry because he was a felon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can vote in the next election. So it means that, Kevin.
That makes sense. And I sort of get it with Milken in a way. His crimes were pretty egregious, but he's been very much a philanthropist and very involved in cancer initiatives and things like that. So okay, I get it. In the case of Eddie DiBartolo, I don't get it, and that's the puzzling part. If you want to commute a sentence, cool. But the pardon doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, here's a question.
And Kevin, I agree with you when you're talking about the woman that was advocated by on behalf of Kim West. That the punishment didn't seem to meet the crime, and there are certainly examples we can all go through. But it's really amazing when you look at the group of people that were pardoned or had sentences commuted yesterday with the nature of their crime. For the most of them, it's securities fraud. And there's an argument to be made that a lot of the stuff that the guys and women who were part of yesterday's proceedings have done things similar to what Trump has been accused of.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But I have a question.
But I don't think he's going to get to set his own precedent on that one. So, I hear what you're saying. He doesn't. It may be that he just doesn't see anything wrong with it. But by the same token, if he's trying to set any precedents for his future self, I don't think it's going to do him any good.
I would say no.
Well, no. I don't think he. Well, there's an argument that had he been impeached, he would have tried to pardon himself and get out of it, but. We'll never know the answer to that. But I don't think it's necessarily he's trying to set a precedent for himself, but I think that he's setting the stage for others who are now Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn are three names that come to mind as to what's going to happen with them. This is the first step in getting people like those three pardoned or have sentences commuted.
So I think you didn't go far enough with Blagojevich, because I think Blagojevich needed a new trial. Because that second trial was nothing but a joke. But I have a very serious legal question here?
In the Blagojevich case, his appeals went up to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court upheld his sentence and said that his trial was fair.
Which it wasn't.
You're not talking about somebody who just stopped at the trial court level and said, okay, I don't have the money to go on, I'm just going to accept this, and then had an outcry from the public. His trial went all the way up for review to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Brennan, I very rarely disagree with you, my friend, but I don't care if he went to God. I was here when they let out the name of the one juror that didn't convict him the first time and the abuse she went through, and there's no way on earth in this town that he could have had a clean second trial after that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether the Supreme Court is too blind to see that, that's their problem, in my opinion.
Well... I take your point, but again, they went up for appeal all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and at the appellate court level and the Supreme Court level, it was decided that the trial was fair and that it was that the sentence was stood.
I'll debate it a second because there's actually a serious legal question I want to ask you. I have a couple of attorney friends, and you're not the only one that deal in the federal courts. And the federal courts win, 95% of the time?
Yeah.
They bring dramatic resources to bear on anything because if they don't like you, they're coming at you with every gun. And I'm saying what happened to Blagojevich is a travesty. With the idea that he didn't have enough money for his defense the second time through and all that stuff. That sucked. I mean, I don't even like the guy. I never did. But that's not the point. That's not America, where you just keep trying the guy again, abusing the jurors from the one before until finally you win. That's just, that's not my America, I'm just saying.
That fair point, I understand it.
Hey, I got a question for you. You just explained to us about a pardon. Now, why did Otto Kerner, who obviously was a lawyer as well, he was serving his 3-year term on bribery conviction. He's dying in jail. I was convicted by witnesses who were induced to lie. Now, here's another federal case, Big Jim Thompson. And in this case, for those that don't know, essentially set up Big Jim Thompson's amazingly successful life. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. He was a U.S. attorney at the time and went after political corruption, mostly of Democrats, but some Republicans. And as a result of those trials, he was elected governor of Illinois, I think it was 3 times.
The prosecution of the respected former governor of Illinois, Otto Kerner, and federal appellate court judge, that's how high this guy was based almost entirely on the immunized testimony of 2 prominent racetrack owners. After the trial, Kerner said in a statement from prison, "I was convicted by witnesses who were induced to lie," which essentially I think they probably were. Now get a load of this. He says, this is an interview this guy gave in prison. "I asked a downcast but nonetheless dignified Kerner if he had considered seeking a pardon. He was emphatic in his response. No, he told me, I would neither seek nor accept a presidential pardon, which requires an admission of guilt. I would not perjure myself to obtain a pardon. I am innocent." So how does that fly with what happened yesterday where you're off the hook pardoned kind of thing?
Well, I don't think that any of the people had gone through the formal vetting. From what I've been able to understand, they did not go through the formal vetting process requesting a pardon. The one woman who had been pardoned before because of the advocacy of Kim West had gone through that whole process. But the ones yesterday had not gone through. In fact, some of them weren't even brought to mind until very recently, is my understanding. So Trump went outside of the normal process. There is a typical process that Kerner referred to where he would apply for a pardon, and it goes through the Department of Justice, goes through several layers, and they would say yes, no, maybe. And, you know, ultimately it's a call of the president to say, yes, I'm going to pardon you, no, I'm not going to pardon you, serve your time in jail. And normally there has to be some showing of remorse or regret that says, yeah, I know I did something wrong, I'm really sorry, I'm trying to convert myself into a really good human being. And I'll argue that in the case of Mike Milken, as Kevin pointed out earlier, since he left jail, he's done a tremendous amount of work in philanthropy and cancer research and just being a good citizen, a good overall citizen. In the case of the others, this came out of nowhere. Far as going through the process for the application and saying, yeah, I'm really wrong, I'm going to try to turn my life around, I've learned from this lesson, I won't do it again.
Well, this police chief guy, is this following on the heels of the total loser in Arizona that he pardoned?
Oh, Arpaio?
Yeah, is this a shameless appeal to the gun owner police people in the country or what?
Yep. Yeah, Arpaio is another example of somebody who was pardoned by, I think he was pardoned by Trump. It was a pardon, I believe, from a few years ago, and the outrage that was, in fact, because of the pardon, Arpaio was able to run again for sheriff of Maricopa County. As a convicted felon, he could not run for public office down there, but when the pardon was issued, he was able to run. He was defeated when he went for re-election, but that was another example of one of the effects of the pardon. Not only was he able to vote, but he was able to run again for his office.
Well, so if you go through the normal system, you do have to, do you have to admit that you were guilty like Kerner or no?
I don't know all the rules, but typically it's a sign of remorse and regret that in seeking a pardon, you know, maybe it really wasn't as bad as what people are saying, but I do admit that I did something wrong and I'm remorseful and I'm willing to turn my life around and I've learned from my time in jail.
Well, I think it's for the...
The thing is, on most of these, I don't understand what the political benefit to Trump would be. It's very out of the blue, but you know, what benefit is he going to get from pardoning Blagojevich? What benefit, you know, in who even, you know, half the world or most of the world doesn't even know who Eddie DiBartolo Jr. is.
I think he's sending a signal to other people.
It's kind of strange, when, like you said, Brendan. It's way out of it's out of nowhere. All of a sudden, we're announcing pardons, and I do, you know. I guess I sort of get that it's, you know, it's his right to do it whenever he wants, but this just seems odd to me.
I think what's-his-name's wife had sent several letters to Trump and Trump's wife regarding
Blagojevich.
And I honestly don't... That 14 years was crazy. So I don't really have an issue with that. 8-7.
Yeah, you've always felt he was oversentenced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's an argument about that. But you know, remember at the time that Blagojevich was sentenced, part of the purpose of the sentence was, we need to send a message to the corrupt politicians in Illinois that you're going to go away for a long time. And the counterargument to that was, you gave George Ryan 6.5 years, and the judge said, yeah, and that wasn't enough to dissuade this kind of public corruption, so I've got to up the ante and make it more egregious for somebody to be sentenced for a longer period of time in hopes that corruption in Illinois would be stopped.
And I'm gonna
obviously, that didn't work.
I'm going to say unequivocally
that worked out.
Now.
I'm going to say unequivocally that never works. Never works.
Well, but that was the argument at the time, that they wanted to send a message to the politicians in Illinois that you're not going to get a slap on the wrist anymore, that this is going to be serious stuff.
That's like saying that you're going to...
You can argue the validity of that argument. I'm not going to argue the validity of that argument, but that was part of what the judge said at the time that Blagojevich was sentenced.
I'm going to say, from what I've seen in my industry, much as I hate to see it or say it, the idea of making an example of a little fish thinking the big fish will take notice, hey, you might as well pee in Lake Michigan and think you're going to fill it back up. It ain't happening.
True, except I would not say that Blagojevich was a little fish. At the time, he was the governor of the state of Illinois, and he had bigger aspirations.
Okay. But I'm saying in terms of the political, he had no real political power, I don't think. And I'm saying in the political world, he was a little fish. How many U.S. attorneys in this state have made their entire career by putting the governor in jail? And half the time they're oversentenced.
You think about Dan Walker, Otto Kerner, yeah. George Ryan, Roger Goyman.
That's just low hanging fruit nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't see, as you guys know, I always look at things differently. If you were to take what was the guy's name who put Blago in jail?
Was that Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say that if you look at that and say, all right, good, he nailed the politician. I'm going to say that if you looked at the amount of time and energy and of their resources, because they run the whole FBI in the state, right? I'm going to say if you look at the resources that they spent on Governor Ryan and Blagojevich versus banks versus chasing down wire fraud versus everything else, the citizenry would be appalled at how little time they spent on the other stuff as the other guy went to get his trophy for his career.
There's an argument there, but I'll also say that Fitzgerald, for example, has not yet been in the public eye in the same way that Jim Thompson was and the same way that Dan Webb was.
Well, Dan Webb has made
both
a fortune.
Those guys, I mean, Dan Webb was the U.S. attorney for a long time, and you know, he used that office to springboard to the top of Winston & Strawn, and he's involved in most big cases right now. When you're looking at independent, so-called independent investigators, he's often the special counsel who comes in. He's the one doing the Kim Fox investigation right now. So you're right that there are two U.S. attorneys as prime examples in the state of Illinois who went on to a big career. Fitzgerald is not one of those. He went to another firm. Apparently he's a really hard worker, a big biller, legitimately a big biller in his firm, and has stepped out of the public spotlight and is not doing things like investigations.
All right. In the meantime, the guy is now commuted, and the wire fraud and the other stuff in his state is endemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'll trade one for the other. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. I don't know. I think that's a false choice, though, Tom. I don't think one's going to affect the other. In fact, just the 2019 cybercrime report, the FBI cybercrime report, just came out like yesterday, and there's over 467,000 cybercrimes reported in 2019, and I haven't had a chance to scroll the whole report to see how many of them they solved. But that's how that's what their inbound looks like. I don't think Rod Blagojevich being out of jail or Eddie DiBartolo being out of jail is going to.
Well, I know personally.
To that.
I know personally four people that have had cybercrimes in a couple of the small banks around here, and then when they went to the FBI, whatever number they had, the number that the FBI needed to investigate was higher than them, and they basically said, "Go pound sand."
And you know what? And you know one person who went to the FBI with one that was just a network intrusion with no dollar loss, and they took the case, took the computer, took it to their crime lab, and processed it. And that was me. That was me and my work.
That must have been in Indiana. Was not in Illinois.
Well, it is Indiana. So, you know, if I don't think the FBI has any policy of not taking them. I just think, you know, you may have FBI offices that are more inclined to work on behalf of the citizens than others.
Well, I guess that's my point. But so,
but I don't think that's a zero sum game with, you know, with anything to do with any of these pardons.
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm just saying you can only do one thing during the day, Kevin. So, you know, and those guys spent an incredible amount of resources on. Because what did Blago, how would he blow through the first his entire net worth in his first trial and his lawyers? And he went through the second.
Well, you know, that I don't remember exactly the amount, but I'll tell you that Sam Adam and Sam Adam Jr., who represented him the first time, worked for a reduced rate because of the publicity. And the value of them as lawyers skyrocketed when they had a hung jury on Blagojevich the first time. And notice that Sam Adam did not represent Blagojevich the second time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He had nobody the second team. Time. He could have me the second time, which would have been interesting because I'm not a lawyer. Anyway, Brandon, thank you very much, buddy. See you next Tuesday. Have a good weekend.
Good.
SP Futures now up 950. Dow Futures up 81. NASDAQ up 39 as the Chinese have put more money in the system this morning. And we'll come back with all that stuff with Kevin and with Matt Weber when we come back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief.
We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and hope Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Al, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Mel Weber. On the board, we have all kinds of... We got stuff happening this morning, as we used to say, in the trading floor. S&P futures up 875, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 35. Individual stocks, not much. Apple's up $2. It was down yesterday, but recovered half of it was down on a close, even though they essentially warned going forward. Apple could tell us they're going out of business and people want to buy it. We wouldn't be a believer. It's amazing what they've done to people's psyche. Them and Tesla, they're almost in the same boat about this point. Well, Tesla obviously more, but Apple kind of the same mentality. Over X up 74.5%, FTSE up 51.7%, CAC around up 39.7%. So moderately higher in Europe, really across the board. Nikkei up 206, it's 0.9%. They were down yesterday. Shanghai down 9.3%. They were up yesterday. Hang Seng up 125.5%. They were down yesterday. So they're all flipping from what they did the day before. Bonds 1.56. Not much movement there. Bund minus 0.41. Same as yesterday. Japan minus 0.04. Same as yesterday. Oil up 69 cents. 52.74. So these guys, just as yesterday I was saying, the range is 50 to 52. Here we are at 52.74. So this is as high as we've seen here in a few weeks. Brent 58.48. Natural gas 195, which is surely a lot higher than it was at 178 a couple weeks ago. RBOB gas 161. But here's the news of the day. Gold 16.12. If it closes there, it'll be the highest close in 7 years. Silver 18.32. Copper 2.60. As Chinese import more money in the market. Just a little sprinkle of news here. Coronavirus cases now in Iran, of all places. Bernie Sanders now leads by double digits. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll is Biden has basically fallen off the edge of the earth like it was flat. Manny, what do you have for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area right now. That's on the outbound Reagan Memorial, I-88. It looks like just before Roosevelt Road, there's a crash blocking the two left lanes that's causing congestion if you're heading out towards the western suburbs. But everything else looking pretty good. Normal traffic volumes inbound on the Edens and Kennedy. No issues or accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet. We will let you know if that should change. Weather today, it's going to be clear, and we'll have some sunshine, so that's nice, but it'll be cold. Right now, it is clear and 18 degrees with a wind chill around 10. Above zero, going up to a high of 29 with some sunshine and some partly cloudy skies. So sunny, look nice from the window, but a little chilly out there. For our Phoenix listeners, a beautiful day. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 79. Right now it's mostly clear and 52. Quiet night in sports last night for our professional teams. NBA still on the All-Star break. It begins back tomorrow night. But the hockey teams are in action. Blackhawks and Coyotes were both off, but they're both in action tonight. The Blackhawks host the Rangers at the United Center. That's a 7 p.m. Chicago time puck drop. And the Coyotes are at Dallas to take on the Stars. That's a 6:30 Arizona time puck drop. Lastly, a good night for the Illini in college hoops. One of the better road wins of the conference season. They went to number 9 ranked Penn State and beat the Nittany Lions 62-56 on their home floor. Big win there for the Illini. Northwestern lost their 10th straight game, Chief. They were beaten by Maryland 76-67. Chief.
The Kevin, I just have one little thing here. The between all the stuff that we've talked about,
I don't want to hear about your little thing.
No, all the stuff we talked about. The what do you mean? Hey, I'm Irish. The just saying, you know, the stuff last week, which I find it very hard to tie all this stuff together with China when we talked about the things that was in the Luckbox magazine and the research that those guys have done, stuff that you and I have talked about for years, and Manny and I, all of us have talked about it. This when are we as a and Carl talks about it, you know, pretty much incessantly. When are we going to come to grips with this? How we, as a whole country, we absolutely, if you have a conversation that, about China, go to a Southside bar for God's sake. Everybody loves the fact that Trump is putting these guys' face as much as he can. And I actually don't mind some of that as well. I mean, I question the method he did, but I certainly don't question the instinct at all. And yet, people are falling over themselves to buy Apple and to buy Apple stuff. Why can't we connect the two as a society? I don't get it. I mean, I'm looking at that. I don't usually do so much of this in Zero Hedge, all right, that much. But once in a while, they have some graphs that are charts, and they're talking about this is the distribution of wealth in the U.S. Since 1917, all right, and you know how you get these graphs, God only knows, but it basically has the bottom 90% and the top 0.1%, okay, which is, you know, that's a lot. It's not very many people. Then obviously the other 10% in there is whatever, but the bottom 90% and the top, at one point, that the top 0.1% was 25%. Of household wealth. This is in 1929. There's a fateful year, right? And the other 90%, the 90% was 16%. Okay. That's, you know, clearly the other 10 of the top is the remainder. But now we've gone back to the point where we're even again. And at one point in like 1989-1990, you had the low point was in 1977, probably, I'm going to say, one of the years when the middle class was somewhat king, although we also had the inflation in there, where the
top... Yeah, I don't think that would have been 77 when the middle class was king, probably more like 67.
Okay, well, in there, you have the top 0.1% only has like 8% of the country, of the household wealth, and the bottom 90% had 30%. The biggest year gap had to be like in 1970, so right near the end of it, somewhere in there between like 65 and 81, and all of a sudden it starts to really close down after 1990 to where we're back there again. But this is what, you know, these guys, and again, I'm not I'll just read this real quick, it's not that long. But that's emphatically not the case these days. The current generation of corporate and political winners have blatantly and systematically exploited nearly everyone else. Amazon, for instance, staffs its hellscape warehouses, I don't know where this is, with RV caravans of migrant senior citizens working long, hard days for subsistence wages. Apple makes its high-margin phones in Chinese sweatshop factories where suicide is the greatest occupational health hazard. Manufacturing company CEOs close their domestic factories, ship the jobs overseas, then pay themselves massive year-end bonuses to reflect the resulting slight uptick in profit margins. Banks hijack the political process to get themselves deregulated and pass laws to make borrowers lifetime slaves of creditors. None of this is untrue. Politicians enter public life with modest bank accounts and then retire multimillionaires. That I don't get either, but it's true. Pretty much the entire political corporate class favors more or less open borders, guaranteeing themselves cheap nannies and gardeners while American wages stagnate.
It isn't cheap, just cheap nannies and gardeners either. Right. It is cheap labor in many manufacturing businesses.
Why, Kevin, is the
cheap off the books labor?
Let's go to the top part though. Why can you can you essentially import on a green card or whatever it is? Say somebody who's got a, you know, a master's in computer technology or something, that can only go to work for Google for, say, $70,000 when the going rate's 110. And yet he can't go down the block and get a raise. He's essentially a chattel for Google for all the time or 2 or 3 years he's here. Who the hell comes up with laws like that where that person can be in our mix? And I don't really have a problem if once he gets here, he or she can go get a job at a real rate. Why are they holding other people's?
But if you come in on an H-1B, you have to work for your sponsoring organization. You can change, but it takes you months to do it. So if anybody wants to recruit you, they have to become the new sponsor. That company has to become the new sponsor, and that takes a long time and a lot of effort, and it discourages any replacement recruiting.
All right. So connect that. What you just said and what we just talked about, Maddie, you were here Thursday, weren't you? No, you weren't.
No, I was here last Thursday.
Okay. Connect that with what Jeff was saying about essentially the spy cells that are here. What does that do? If you're the Chinese person and you decide you want to basically screw Google and go down a block and make more and go through this process, is that a positive on your citizen rating or a negative?
Don't know. You could probably argue it either way with a little bit of thought.
I'm going to guess it's a negative because you're rocking the boat.
Well, you know, it's okay to rock the boat. It just depends on where you go. They may tell you where you need to go because, you know what, you should go because we need to steal some information from a different company and we'll get you pointed in that direction.
I didn't even think of that. I was thinking about we got you the deal to go over there in a few. I mean, obviously, the Chinese have a nice deal with Apple and some of these people. Somehow or another, they are. I'm going
to say. Look, just to put a little more of a flavor to it. How about the one I was reading this morning that the state of California pension funds have billions invested in Chinese companies, including a lot of Chinese military contractors. So we throw that into the mix about, you know, what we're doing basically to ourselves.
What did Lou say, Lenin? A capitalist will happily sell you the rope which you will hang him with or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Why can't we, instead of getting bits and pieces of this, I don't see why one of our politicians can't somehow sit down and tie all this together some way. I mean, why can't they? Or they don't want to, or they don't care?
Well, they don't want to because I once had a finance professor in graduate school, and he walked in the first day and he said, you know, what is the goal of chief financial officers of major multinational companies? And so everybody's, you know, given these answers like, no, it's maximizing the firm's value, maximizing the stock value, maximizing earnings, all these kind of answers that you'd cookie-cutter answers you'd expect. And he said, no, the goal of chief financial officers at major multinational companies is to keep their cushy jobs. The point being, what's the politician's goals, first and foremost? In too many cases, it's to keep these great gigs because, like you said, you can get rich doing it. You're exempt from all kinds of, insider trading type of scrutiny that others would get, or insider information scrutiny that others would get. They've totally exempted themselves from that. The benefits of the job are fantastic, and while you just have to work like crazy on fundraising and things like that may be distasteful, once you have incumbency working for you, unless you're just really, really bad at what you do, you pretty much have a job indefinitely.
All right, so
why can't they do it? Because they want to keep their jobs.
All right, so we'll make this speaking of somebody's job, it should be somebody's job here at Stocks and Jacks to find somebody who knows all this crap, because I don't get, in the last 20 years, I don't know why I've been so asleep about this. I don't get, Kevin, when you and I were utes, we were Maddie's age, everybody.
What was that word?
We were utes. when you were Maddie's age. Did he say you?
Yeah.
I still love Fred Gwynn in that movie. But the
he was fantastic, wasn't he?
I don't understand how the entire group of people that I knew of that were in Congress, Congress or the Senate, for really up until, I'm going to say 1990 something, maybe even 2000. I don't know of anybody who came back rich, Kevin. And in those days, you actually could, when you retired, take your stuff from your political action committee or your campaign fund, and bring it over to personal wealth. And then all of a sudden you couldn't. Right about the time Rasty got booted, you can never melt that over. So it has to stay as a political action. You can though give it to other people who are running for office and those kinds of things. If you have a big PAC, you can start.
Right, and you might be able to salary yourself for what work you do.
Right, but something. And yet, I have a list of people. I mean, Marty Russo, Paul Simon, Chuck Percy, Everett Dirksen, Paul Douglas. Name them. None of those people came back rich. I mean, I don't think they were hurting all that much. But Paul Simon.
I think Percy started out rich. So
well, he was the chairman of Bell.
Take him out of the conversation.
But he was chairman of Bell and Howell. And I'll bet he was making $250 a year as chairman of Bell and Howell, not the $250 million make now. So even though he was chairman, yeah, he lived in Kenilworth. I mean, he was above the rest of the gang, but I don't think he was, you know, $200 million guy or anything like that. I mean, I don't. Do you?
I can't remember for sure, but yeah, he was known to be wealthy, but
yes.
I don't know that it was.
But it was a time
Bloomberg
when
wealth.
Well, the chairman of Pullman made $250,000. Pullman was not as big as Bell and Howell, so I'll double it for him. But it wasn't. That was not an era where people made, you know, stock options and everything. You know, the Jamie Dimon kind of money. I don't think. I'm just saying. Now all of a sudden, these people, even though the laws on the political funds are stricter. Let's put this: everybody who seems to hang in there makes a lot of money. I don't think that the people we see
and those who don't seem to have their family members make a lot of money.
Well, but I also think, Kevin, and this is just, I'd love to find out for sure. I think that the people we see here in Illinois, male, female, Republican, Democrat, that head off to Congress for two terms and say, "The hell with this! I can't accomplish anything." I think they come back as a total net loser money wise. I don't think they do.
Could be. They certainly no better than break even.
Right. So somewhere along the line here, the drawer starts opening for you. And I'm beside myself to figure out how many terms it is, what committees it is, maybe it's a committee chairman that all of a sudden people start throwing money at you. But there's some break in the action here. So we're all of a sudden like you're a starting quarterback and your salary goes from minimum to $40 million a year or something. I mean, there's.
Well, I think it's really tied to the amount of influence that you have or you're perceived to have. And as a result of that, people will start throwing a lot of money your way or a lot of investment advice, let's put it that way. Those kinds of deals that tend to allow people to get really wealthy. And as I said, you know, often enough it's a family member. It could be a spouse, for example. So all of a sudden the spouse's business starts getting a lot of money. You know, that's Joe Biden's problem, and it's not just his problem with his son Hunter, it's his problem with his daughter-in-law and her husband and his brothers. All of these getting a lot of money at the government trough, and only once and in many cases, not until he became vice president. So is it criminal? I don't know, but does it look really bad? Yeah, because that's kind of how Washington is working now, and it's not working for us.
Well, look at Wendi Graham, how much money she made from Enron, because Phil Graham rammed through the law to not have it regulated. You know, and I think Alina Cho.
When did she get out?
What?
When did she get out of Enron?
I think it already started to go downhill. Then she became Secretary of Labor or something, or Energy?
Something. Wendi Graham, don't remember.
And then and Alina Cho was the chairman of, she was on the board of Wells Fargo, wasn't she the?
We need to get one of her names right, Tom. It's Elaine Chao.
Whatever. Pick one.
First name or last name. I don't care which one.
I know Wendy because I met Phil a couple times. He came to our breakfast in One Washington. So Dr. J's got this bizarre. He's on the street in New York the week before, and he buys this incredible yellow tie, and I mean serious yellow, right? So he wears this thing to breakfast. Phil Graham sees him. Hey, son, that's quite a tie. I wouldn't already have a cup of coffee. That'd sure wake me up. Dr. J's tie. But you know, his wife was the Enron, and she was all over that legislation. I mean, you're right. It is a lot of times it's the spouse. You know, it's.
Yeah, where's the Pelosi money? It's all in her husband's business.
Yeah. I just wonder there's got to be a tipping point. I have to believe if you're chairman of the Agriculture Committee, I mean, you're doing pretty well with the John Deere's and the Caterpillars. I'm just guessing. But I don't know if you're the end of the bench in that committee, if anybody knows your name or cares. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think the money's split around in Congress all that much. It's if you either can do something for me or you can't.
I think it's completely tied to tenure. I have a book about that stashed away somewhere. It's kind of buried in the pile at this point. I'll have to get it out and look, and maybe I can speak a little more intelligently about it. But there is definitely I think a tenure factor to it.
Hey, Russell just wandered in. He's resplendent in this cardigan.
I'm so tired. I was at a house party up in Ravenswood celebrating my friend getting out of jail. I'd forgotten how much he likes George Michael. He had Freedom on.
A lot of hookers and blow at that one.
Oh yeah, and he was just playing George Michael's Freedom over and over again.
Hey Kevin,
aren't you glad when you acknowledge me before the break?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Hey, Kevin, I have to ask you, the two premier coaches, North Carolina and Notre Dame. I watched that game. I almost want to watch it again. Could there possibly be two more horribly coached teams?
They're having all.
Well, until the Irish got into about the last 6 minutes, and then they played great basketball.
Well, they hustled, but
I thought they played really well. Let me tell you, it's crazy because these are things I know from being a little closer to the program. One of the things that happened in that game that turned it for Notre Dame was that Prentice Hubb started attacking the basket.
Right.
When he started going at the basket, first of all, he got himself like three buckets right, in a row. And that helped. But that also started making the defense collapse on that. And so now when they were kicking to the shooters, it was shooters, who had people running at them. But if you give them a good pass, like they did on the last play of the game, doesn't matter if the guy's running at you or not. They don't have time to recover once they've collapsed. Whereas if they don't have to respect the middle, then the shooters are going to have to rush their shots because the defenders are closer to them. So that's all I'm saying is you draw the defense away from the shooter, you give him a good pass, he has plenty of time to shoot an uncontested outside shot. And so that made a huge difference. Now, I happen to know that they have been riding Prentice Hubb all year to go to take the ball into the lane, to drive it. This was the first game when he actually did it.
Well, I guess
I would hate to coach that age group because you sit there and you say, do this, do this, do this, and they say, okay, and then they go do the opposite. I remember watching a game last year, and I don't remember who it was, where they were in the huddle for a last shot, a last shot opportunity, and the coach said, okay, I want you to get it up there and get yourself a good shot as quickly as you can so we have time for a rebound. Everybody got that? Everybody sitting in the huddle nodding, yes, yes, yes. Then they went out, they walked the ball up the court, wasted all of their time, and wound up jacking up a futile shot at the end. Again, not 30 seconds before, everybody said, yep, got it.
Well,
didn't do it.
I think there's something to be said for having some depth, Kevin, to where, I mean, Mike Bray, his story used to be that a freshman or a sophomore couldn't get on the court because if he made one mistake, he'd yank you because he had somebody else to put in. I mean, now he did. I'm talking the guy in North Carolina, the guy who's the all-star guy. The color man was he might have been a former player somewhere, but he was a scout. So he had kind of a totally different, you were there, so you weren't listening. But he was pretty good. He kept talking about this point guard on the other team, North Carolina guy with the headband. And
yeah, Anthony. It's Greg Anthony's son.
And he goes, here's a guy.
Notre Dame recruited him, too. He was very involved with them right up until the end.
But here's a guy that
I'm sure he chose North Carolina so that he could go someplace where he'd win big.
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
Well, but he comes down the floor, and however many seconds were left, and the guy says, okay, now, he's got to take, you know, two-thirds of the time off this shot clock before they do anything. He comes down, backs up, and wings a three in from, like, half court and misses it by 2 feet. The guy goes, what the hell is that? What is with this kid? He's halfway through the season. He's a point guard. He knows how many seconds are on the clock. How do you ever dream of taking that shot at that time? I mean, here's the guy. From all the good stuff Notre Dame did, that kid hangs on to that ball for another 15 seconds. There's no way they win.
It would have been much more difficult for them to come down and get a decent shot, you bet.
I mean, but what possessed...
And
you should know that in high school, Kevin. I mean, you don't need a coach to tell you, hey, there's not much time left, and we got the lead. What do you say we hang on to the ball for a little bit? We don't need that in a park district to have a coach to tell us that, do we? I hope.
Well, I don't think so, but I wind up scratching my head at what high-level athletes do all the time, so I guess I shouldn't be totally shocked. But, yeah, I agree with you. Now, you know, the game itself, you know, part of it is how good are your players, but, you know, that's not all of it. As far as depth goes, you know, Bray, when you say Bray, young guys didn't get on the court, actually, when you live in three-star world, your young guys aren't going to play that much anyway, because when you get those three-star recruits, some of them are more ready to play than others. But when it gets right down to it, if you're going to compete against, you know, back in the day it was Big East talent and now it's Big Ten talent, or excuse me, ACC talent, but this would be true of any major conference. If you don't have you have these guys with 4 and 5 star ability who can overcome their mistakes with athletic ability. Whereas you get down to the three-star guys, and in time they can be good players, but they can't overcome the mistakes they make. It's not knowing the offense, it's being out of position, it's poor footwork, whatever it is. Because you take a 6'9" guy in high school, if even a three-star talent, he could probably dominate. So,
right.
They may not have developed all of the things they need to be successful at the next level. But then, when you don't have it, as a freshman in college, and now you're going up against the 4 and 5 star guys, they'll beat you like a drum until you have, you know, that perfect footwork, until you execute the offense properly, until you understand, you know, and execute defensive rotations and so on. And that's what keeps those guys off the floor until they're, you know, in many cases, until they're juniors. They'll start playing as sophomores. They'll play a lot more as juniors. But as freshmen, you really need the much more talented guys if they're going to play early. It is rare when you get, say, a Torrey Jackson who came in and had to take over as a point guard as a freshman and just held his own and did a really nice job with it.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk at you again Friday. S&P futures now up 10.50. NASDAQ futures up 48. It looks like we're in rally mode. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck?
Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hines, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 9, NASDAQ Futures up 43.50. What about gold, big guy? 7-year high.
What? I bought that like, I don't know, four or five years ago for the kids' college fund. And my wife kept saying, when's it going to work out? When's it going to work out? And I said, honey, there will be some point where it works out. Just be patient. So look at me. Eventually I was right.
So that works pretty well, telling the females to be patient?
Oh, yeah. Very, very well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's
yeah. You know, they listen, so don't throw me under the bus this morning.
All right, I won't. I'm just
okay.
Saying.
I can do that very well on my own. I don't need your help.
Like, you know, Audrey's over this weekend, and she's like, well, how about if we do this? And I go, all right. And I'm like, well, how about like now? And I'm like, well, okay. It couldn't wait until the commercial. But
what? You just answered my question.
Yeah, like,
it was like, so what were you doing?
It wasn't whatever it was.
You were studying up for this weekend's programs.
Oh, God, yeah. It was like, you have to now because the stuff's happening so much.
I know.
And it's, I don't, I gotta, you gotta keep up on the coronavirus. You gotta keep up on, a couple of cases in Iran now, which is interesting.
They trade technology.
What's your feeling? I think from watching this for sort of since the get go, I'm astounded by how much it's hitting middle aged people in China. Is it as Carl was talking? Is it the pollution in cigarettes that's causing these people to be specifically? It doesn't look like anybody from anywhere else who gets it is broken.
You think they've got weaker respiratory systems because they've been?
I'm saying it's what's
breathing brown air for a long time,
everybody seems to be three packs a day.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that, but I don't know that much about any. I always defer to my better half with healthcare stuff, but I did see where one of the ways that they're trying to detect this thing is they look at your lungs. So if that's where it's really hit, and I guess you drown on yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely a lung thing.
Well, because
maybe all viruses are going. It's really
the guy, who runs the hospital at Ground Zero croaked yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Okay. 51 years old, in good health. The doctor was 34. The first doctor. And yet, you know, these people on the cruise ships. There's several things that are worrisome. I guess one is out of the 400 and some people on the cruise ship that had it, 189 were asymptomatic. They didn't even know they had it.
They didn't know they had it. Yeah.
But I think the concern for the rest of the world, at least now, is this thing mutated once, it could do it again.
Well, they always mutate. They do. I mean, the flu's constant. You know, when they give us the flu shot, it's kind of their best guess as to what it's going to mutate, what it has mutated into.
But it's
why it's still around. We can't knock it out It's the Muhammad Ali of viruses. It's bobbing and weaving and changing around on us so that we can't knock it out.
We need an expert here, but I'm going to push back here and say that your regular flu viruses, like the however many there are that come through every however many years, I think all of them have been named.
Yeah.
And we've all, like the one this year was the H1N1.
Right.
Came back, and now there's a second one coming. And there's a name for that, because that was here like 6 years ago or something.
The H5. Yeah. No, they're all little mutations, and we know what they are. When we get the flu shot, there is somewhat of a guess as to which one.
Well, because they do it from the southern hemisphere up to here.
Yeah.
And not the same one always gets here. I mean, in fact, they manage to screw it up most of the time, it appears. Well, not screwed up, but don't hit the one that they're actually looking for.
Right.
But this coronavirus, the point is, I think, that it just mutated recently. And that's why that's why the concern is higher.
Yeah, because they're not able to get ahead of it.
Well, I mean, what Carl was saying is what causes them to, if it jumps from an animal to a person, if the person has another virus, the two of them sometimes get together.
They latch on.
And that's how, it becomes, cause it's not whether you and I are hanging around with pigs or birds. We can get one of these viruses, I won't say easily, but it's not all that uncommon. But you can't go into the house and give it to your wife. You get it from the animal, but it doesn't mutate into something that is now transferable from you to another person.
Yeah.
Because, so that's, but I guess what's happening is if you have another flu or something else, you're more likely to have those things mate, shall we say, for lack of a better term. We have to get somebody on who's an expert on all this stuff, but clearly there's an awful lot of, and when I was reading about the 1918 thing, it came through once and caused a 3-day fever. Somewhere mutated.
Came back
around and killed everybody.
I've been watching history videos on that one lately, just for the
heck of it. How scary was that?
Yeah.
The weird part is, if you looked at the hospitals in the day where they had the people quarantined and stuff, they look exactly like the 1,000-bed hospital the guys put up in China, with beds like 8 inches apart and everybody, there's somebody on every bed. I wouldn't even say bed, more like a cot. And that's how they treated people back then.
Do you think they have some of those people handcuffed down to the bed in China?
Because,
you know, we've seen the videos of them trying to drag people off to these places.
I can't
imagine they just lay there and say, okay, I'll wait to
So you got to go to the bathroom, or he's going to hook you? Or,
yeah.
Or you have to drag the cat with you. Like instead of a steel ball like they used to do in the dark ages, right? You had to drag the cat with you to the bathroom.
Goodness gracious!
God, it was. So what do you make of? I was just mentioned earlier in the show that Apple comes out and they warn, and the stock's down like $10.
It's up now.
And the amount of phone calls. Hey, is this a buy? Is it a buy down here? What do you mean down here? It's down $10. It was $148 a year ago. Oh man, it's down. Should we buy the dip? When a $300 stock goes, and then now Tesla is up another $60 today.
Yep. One of the brokerage firms raised their price target from like 700 and something to 928. By the end of the program, I think we'll hit that price target.
I think
we're at 922 right now.
Let me see what the tippy top was.
If people, I don't know, people probably don't recall, a lot of my students weren't even born when all of this happened, but there's a very close equivalence to the way Tesla's behaving, the way Yahoo behaves. And I think Henry Blodgett might have been the analyst that put like a $400 target on Yahoo when the stock was under 300 and it hit 400 that day.
Yeah.
And you can superimpose the Yahoo chart on top, or you could have. Now I don't think you can because Tesla's making another run to the upside, but it was really eerily similar. I tweeted a chart a couple of weeks ago where I indexed both Tesla and Yahoo to zero, or I'm sorry, to 100, and showed like 3 months of price activity. And they kind of overlapped each other. They looked exactly the same. So that's the typical irrational exuberance chart. Well, in fact, as I've been speaking, Tesla, it just hit 926. We're 2 points. It's gone up 5 points while I was talking during that sentence.
I've got a 919.63 on my feed.
Well,
do you have a direct feed or are you delayed?
I probably am delayed. So it's already hit the target and starting to trade off.
Yeah, I think it already was.
Okay,
up.
There we go.
Life
moves pretty fast.
Yes, I have a fundamental question for you, Mr.
Sure.
Mr. Soon to be FID, PhD. Soon to just be like Dr. J. Just saying.
Oh, my God. If I had been, I could have just started calling myself Dr. Vix 10 years ago and not spent a lot, not taking on all these student loans and not spent weekends struggling over a dissertation.
I should have just saying.
I went the wrong. I always make bad decisions.
Yeah, you could be like major.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was telling me something about somebody else. They couldn't go into their office because they were there or something. It sounds like major. Anyway, if you have not read Catch 22, it's kind of a must. I think
it is.
I did read it.
What was the story? His name was Major, and they screwed up and they gave him another Major. Right? So he actually became Major. They gave him the bars or whatever, the stars or whatever, and they started paying him like a Major, and they gave him an office. And he had an outside door, right? So if you went to see him, they'd say, well, he's in, you can't go see him. And as soon as he'd leave through the outside door, they say, you can go in now. Right, and then as soon as he was coming back, they say you got to come back in the waiting room. He's coming back, so never actually got to see the guy, but you got into his office, and he masqueraded like he was a major and got his check, but he was never a major. But they just added another major to his name, so he retired as a major, I guess. Right?
He's still getting paid.
So my question is, back in the day, companies seem to want to split their stocks and be in a situation where the stock was exceptionally widely held, and they thought that was safety. And now people decide they really don't want that. I mean, I'm going to say that not very many people. I don't have anybody here at PTI. I don't think. I'm going to have to ask my brother Danny. I don't think we might have somebody with a few shares of Tesla, but I mean, there's nobody here that's got like 10,000 shares of Tesla, right?
Yeah,
that they had it from $2 or anything like that. I mean, and nobody's got 1,000 shares or 300 shares of Amazon. I'm sure we have people with option positions or maybe partial, things, but
less than around lot.
But now people seem to think, by their actions, is that when you're closely held either by ETFs, which are never going to sell unless you get a massive market turndown, right, where they're forced to sell, or with hedge funds or with people like that, your stock is safer. Now, my question is, if we are one of those places and there's 10 or 20 or 30 of them that own all this Tesla stock, well, this morning, if my group holds X thousand shares worth of Tesla, and I go to your group that owns X thousand shares and say it's my turn, the phase of the moon is my turn, if I turn around and buy 1,000 shares from you up $50, well, even though I'm pissing away $50,000, basically, if I have enough shares, I've just increased my own wealth by a dramatic amount.
Yeah.
Which you could never have said before. You could never have driven the price of a stock up and had it be worthwhile to you 15 years ago.
To overpay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I think in some of these cases, I think you can.
High price tucks that you just give it. Yeah, man, people just do nothing but say things that create work in my mind.
Yeah.
Seeing if the whole marking up thing toward the end of the month is more prevalent among high price stocks.
Well, I think when when you see an Amazon that drops from $21.50 down to $17.50 and pretty much stays $17.50-$18.00, even with the market and all the rest of these things going up, and one day they come out with some earnings which say they're going to make $24 during the year, which is basically nothing.
Which means they're trading at 200 times still.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, okay, the stock is up, $250 in one day, and now it's just up $250.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there's going to be an army of people we know that are going to off their 1,000 shares of Amazon and drive the thing back down, because nobody we know has an Amazon. I mean, or if we do, it's an option position, or it's a 10 shares or 20 shares or something.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had a bunch of clients who could call me today and say, buy me 1,000 shares of Amazon, but we don't have any of those. That's a lot of dough.
Well, right? If most retail customers are doing something like that, they're not properly diversified.
I would say, yeah.
You know, the high price stock thing might be one of the drivers behind money going into ETFs.
Well, absolutely.
You know, if you want Tesla exposure right now, go buy an automotive ETF. It's a huge part of it now. It really is.
Well,
I mean,
it would have to be. Would have to be, but
yeah.
But I mean, if you want Amazon and other things, you're going to go into the queues, and you have five stocks that are 48% of the queues.
Yeah.
But there's people that I know that want me to get them into aggressive ETFs, the ETFs that are winning essentially. And I'll say, well, do you want to buy Amazon or Apple? Oh no, they're way too high. Well,
Let's buy the Qs.
If I buy the Qs, what am I doing? I'm putting, I mean, literally, if I buy...
What did you just buy?
If I put $400,000 of somebody in the Qs, I'm going to say $60,000 going to Apple?
Yeah.
It has to be. 50, somewhere.
I don't know where it is now. I know at one point Apple was 20% of the NASDAQ.
Well, but it's...
So $400,000, I'd be 80.
Well, the five of them are 48 or 9% of the Qs. And out of those five... Apple's got to be, out of that 49%, Apple's got to be 20% of the 49, isn't it? It's got to be, or 18 or 17, somewhere in there.
You know, one of the, and it's not off the charts successful, one of the more successful new option markets is options on the FANG index, which is really basically just those big five stocks.
Well, it's the Qs without the bothersome 95.
I keep thinking that at some point you want to buy the Qs and short that thing.
I'm thinking we're very, very close.
I would have said the exact same thing a year ago and been very wrong.
People that know the industry like we do are somewhat very rarely wrong, but we're almost always early.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was huge short housing in 2005. Resulted in me getting an unpaid day off to watch NCAA basketball in March.
There you go. when I started the business in 80, I think it was December of 80, so say 81, the market was roughly 800 or something, and interest rates were 15%. Maybe your broker call was probably 12.5, but the banks were paying. It was more than that. It was probably 14, but your long term rate was 12, and I'm going to say it was obvious to me that the only way to go was up. I mean, there weren't as many stacks, and certainly not optionable stacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you looked at the stacks that were still trading, I mean, that were around, they're still making money in that horrendous and paying a pretty good dividend.
If they're making money in a very tough environment, they're going to be quite all right.
So you're
when
sitting
things
there
get
going,
easy, like right now.
There's no way that interest rates were going to go, mm-hmm. well, I guess they're going to go on to 16 or 17, but they probably weren't going to go to 40. I mean,
there was more downside than upside to interest rates at that point.
And the minute they started going down, you could imagine that the market was going to go up. Mm-hmm. So the big move was going to be to the upside when you're at 800 to Dow. If there was a move, I mean, you know, how much lower can you go? But I'm going to say it was 17 months before we moved.
Yeah.
Well, August of 82.
And your patience gets tested. Your client's patience gets tested.
Well, at that time, I didn't have any clients. And
when your client's patience is getting tested, you get even testier.
But I just made sure I was never short.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I didn't want the boom to come, so I was reluctant to sell calls. You know, that type of thing. And So I never really had that income coming in where the guys that were selling the calls were making out like a bandit. And all of a sudden, one day... But they did well for, you know, 18 months before I had a good day, basically. You know, uh-huh. I mean, it wasn't like I was fighting it. You don't, as a market maker, you don't fight it. You trade what comes in. But I always made sure that I never got put in a real short position overnight, thinking that the next day somebody's going to make some kind of announcement that all is better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we weren't as good about those announcements back then as we are now. Now we get on like 1% and we got 50 people out there yelling all is better. Even if it isn't. Now you look at it and you say, okay, the only real way for this to go is for interest rates to go back to somewhat normal because, I won't say normal, I don't know if we're going to go back to, you know, where we were, but by and large, the idea on a worldwide scale of people giving money to other people and paying them to do it is just, I mean, it's not a long sustainer. I mean, it's like going to the laundromat and coming out with your clothes dirtier than when you went in. I mean, why would you keep making the trip if they're washing your clothes in dirty water, basically, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to say, I'm better off, you know, using the garden hose here. But, it's hung in there way longer than anybody thought. The politics was very powerful. And you have these countries that are coming up with incredible debt. And the U.S. government, basically, the people we've elected will go down before they'll raise interest rates to where they look like idiots and have to pay more interest. But they don't care if they take you with them. I think that's really where we're at, unfortunately.
You said in the first hour, because I was listening, you guys basically were talking about the CFO thing and his job is to not get fired, and it's the same thing with the politicians. Their job is to get reelected.
I have a question for you.
And therefore they don't do things that might endanger that.
You're a professor, but you're not an attorney, but you hang around, you're in the same building as them, so you're supposed to know this. can the governor pardon people from state crimes?
I don't know if they can pardon people from state crimes. I was reading through the list of, I think it varies state to state, first off. And because I was reading through the list of people that had been pardoned by Trump just to, you know, to see what's what with that. Not just the recent one, the whole, since he's been in there. And there were a couple of instances where governors had reinstated people's voting ability and things like that after they had been pardoned by Trump. So I think it's a state by state thing. You know, it's an old movie type thing, but we're always waiting for the call from the governor when somebody's on death row.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's why. And heck, we had that happen in Illinois. Remember, everybody on death row was taken off of death row.
And what's his name? Ryan almost came real close to winning a Nobel Peace Prize for that.
Yeah.
He was a finalist.
He was nominated for it.
And then he went to jail. SP Futures up 950, NASDAQ Futures up 44. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Should we say what you just said harsh about Matty Weber on the air?
I didn't say anything harsh about him.
If he was any kind of producer, Blagojevich would be in the studio this morning.
You said that.
Oh, maybe it was me.
Well, and then I said you need to write a big check because it's sweeps month and all the morning shows are probably lining up to get him.
He's having his press conference in his front lawn at 11 o'clock this morning.
I know.
All the news outlets will be there.
I know. I'm supposed to bring the boombox with the George Michael. Go.
But he could have been here, for God's sake. We'd have him home by 11.
Oh.
Anyway, S&P futures up 875. NASDAQ futures up 42, Dow futures up 87. We're trying to move to the upside here. Yesterday we made back most of the losses as the day went on. DAX up 70.5%. They were up 0.7 a while ago. The FTSE up 51. They are up 0.7. CAC around up 37.6. So moderately higher over in Europe. Nikkei up 206. Now, these guys were down yesterday. They're up today. It's 0.9%. Shanghai was down yesterday. They're up today. They're up, or down 9 points, 0.3%. Hang Seng up 125.5. So everybody's kind of recovering, flinging from yesterday. Bonds, 1.57 up 1 basis point. So that's not much going on there. Bund minus 0.0. Japan minus 0.04. Once in a while it makes a run towards zero, and then it gets slapped back like whack-a-mole, for God's sake. Well, up 76 cents. 52.81, the highest we've seen here in a little while. We'll see if it's going to break to the upside here some, but the oil stocks are still in the crap hole. Brent up 90 cents, 58.65. Natural gas, 194. RBOB, 163. This is probably the big news of the day. Gold, 16.10, as it's very close to a 7-year peak. Silver up 19 cents, 18.34. So if you bought some silver yesterday, that's a pretty good move. That's over a 1% move in silver. Copper, 260. Still cannot get out of its own way. If we start to see some improvement in China on all kinds of fronts, you'll kind of notice it. This is old time thinking. Now, whether it's still, you see copper, 280, 285, 290, pushing 3. That's when you start.
Maybe that's when you know it's coming back.
Right, you know it's coming back. So, yeah. Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start on a Wednesday morning. Normal traffic volumes on the Edens and Kennedy. No accidents or stalls to report. Eisenhower looks good. We had that earlier crash on 88 on the outbound side at Roosevelt. That's all clear now. A little bit of resulting congestion from that, but crews are long gone from that scene. Southside expressways have been behaving themselves all morning, so a good start today. Weather today, lots of sunshine, but cold temperatures, a high of just 29 with wind chills in the low 20s. Right now it's sunny and 19 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 79 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 53. In sports, quiet night last night. Blackhawks were off. They host the Rangers tonight at the UC. That's a 7 p.m. puck drop. Coyotes were off as well. They're at the Dallas Stars, 6:30 p.m. Arizona time, a puck drop in Dallas. College hoops last night, Illinois with their best win of the season. They took down number 9 Penn State on the road, 62-56. Northwestern lost their 10th straight conference game, falling at Maryland, 76-67. Chief.
I want to ask you one thing, Russell, about, we were talking about fundamentals of some of these stocks and everything. I like to trade, and a lot of my clients are always curious. I mean, we don't always trade them, but we always keep our eye on. I mean, when we start looking at copper, I mean, if you think it's going to move, one of the stocks, it used to be probably the stock you traded if you were as a copper surrogate was Freeport. But then they went FCX, which,
yeah.
But then they bought gold company.
They diversified, yeah.
And I'm gonna say it's, well, I don't know, I'm not positive. Is it 20% gold, something like that, 20%, 25%?
I'm not sure. I always thought of Phelps Dodge.
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, but there aren't very many.
Yeah.
You know? But and you look at some of these basic industry stocks, and you look what's happening to Tesla. You look at the stuff going on here and the Amazons and the things, and how they seem to be able to take advantage of the political environment and things. And I mean, you know, the fact that people love this Apple and basically run a bunch of sweatshops, I mean, you know, it's maybe a little harsh, but not that harsh. You know, you really wonder what the makeup of the American mind is these days. But what about these other stocks, the U.S. Steel, the Cleveland Cliffs, the those kinds of places?
The old school
that are,
industrial
that
ones?
They're absolutely on their ass. I mean, I'm looking at a chart here of U.S. Steel, and the thing is, what, 887, and a year ago, when we were talking about tariffs and when Trump was opening, what he made, went to Michigan and they opened up the place that was closed for so long and now it's closed again. Stock was $25.
Yeah.
I mean, these things have not just not done what, you know, let's just say the administration or the rest of us, anybody would love to see happen. They've gone absolutely the other direction. And I know we're not that much of that type of an economy anymore, but stuff's going to zero, it looks like. I mean, I can't get over the change. I mean, I thought, you know, okay, 20, that I can get. It was a little bit of hype to get it to 25, 18, 17, but Jesus, am I supposed to go short it at 9? I mean, this is U.S. Steel.
It's
kind
of tough to step in front of something that's been around longer than you and me combined.
Yeah, but what is, are all these places, all these coal companies, all these places are the guys that make the coking coal, which is for steel. There's coal for the burning. There's coal that you make steel with, and metallurgical coal they call it. And are we it's not like we don't have an administration that at least is putting lip service. If you would have faded everything these guys said, you'd be a rich man. They're going to help this industry. Every one of those industries are going to help.
Every industry that they said they were going to make better,
yeah,
make great again, has not worked out.
Right, pretty much.
Well, then the Democrats got nothing to worry about, right?
Well, I don't know. The Democrats got all kinds of things to worry about. They got Bernie's their man.
Yeah.
How can anybody? I don't. I say they're man. I spent 90% of my life being a Democrat to where I found the freedom of being in the middle. I can't think of. Boy, if I had to vote for one of those guys, I don't know what I'd do.
You know, what's funny is they say that the demographic that is least on board with Bernie is people his age.
Yeah.
Which I find that it's all the much, much younger folks that are really excited about him.
I think what most people like about Bernie is he's the only honest politician, seemingly, out of all of them. And people feel like, you know, with both sides not getting much done anyway over the last 30 years, it's not like his radical positions are all going to get pushed through. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
But if you at least have someone with integrity that's honest, that actually wants to help working people, that's who you want in the White House. I don't know why that's hard to understand.
It's real hard to understand because honesty comes in two ways. It also means that you need to have a calculator when you tell people stuff and not feed BS by them.
Yeah, he does. I mean, what he says is
we, instead of spending on defense and corporate tax cuts, let's spend on regular working people. Now, there's only a certain amount of money. I mean, obviously, we all know that.
Yeah.
But the point is just shifting thinking.
Do you think
you may say it doesn't add up, but it doesn't. Nothing adds up. We're trillions of dollars in debt. You're not saying anything we don't already know.
Let's
take that money and give it and try something new on other people besides the rich corporation.
If you give, as you know, nobody is against those guys more than me. If you give a room of the Maddie Webbers,
if you vote for Trump or Bloomberg, then you're right with them.
If you have a room,
there's not much of a difference between those two.
Bloomberg is just like a polished Trump.
I'm gonna make a stab to say 65% of the defense budget goes for pensions and other stuff. Are you gonna cut all that?
I'm not saying you have to cut. I'm not running for president. I'm just saying I like the idea of instead of we have a huge deficit that we've been building
right.
for 20, 30 years on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
So to think this is a Democrat or Republican thing, it's ridiculous. They both spend like crazy. My point is instead of getting the tax cuts to the rich over and over again and spending on things, you know, for people that don't need it, I'd rather vote for somebody that I trust, that I think is honest, that actually I think has the people's best interest, when I say the people, regular working people's best interest, at heart. Are all of his radical policies going to get pushed through? Of course not. But I'm just trying to identify with Bernie supporters.
I would identify with them as well. Matter of fact, we've had some people that have helped out on the show. Some of the ladies are real Bernie supporters. And every one of them needs a calculator. I mean, when you say stuff like, well, we're going to... Anytime somebody's routine is, and this is a Democrat-Republican routine, by the way, I'm agreeing with you here, Maddie. Anytime somebody identifies a group of people that's going to pay more to pay for his group of people that are his supporters, I think the person should be drowned immediately.
Everything we do is paying for other people.
I know.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying
We've been doing that for 100 years.
That is what needs to stop.
It can't stop.
Why?
Because we have to pay for education. We have to have roads. We have to have the fire department. We have to have the police. We have to have Social Security. Every week my money comes out of my paycheck and pays for old people. And when old people were young, they did the same thing out of their paychecks for old people before them. We pay for other people. That's what we do. It's just a matter of do you want to pay for rich people or poor people?
No. What I'm saying is that I'm trying to be somewhat here.
No one gets 100% of their paycheck.
I get that.
I don't think you do.
I
know you do, but what you're saying makes it sound like you don't.
The idea of, let's take medical stuff, for instance. Just take an example. You can swing from taxing corporations. You can swing from keeping people out that are liable to get an MRI and not letting them in the country. You can do whatever you want. You can jaw-jag all you want about medical stuff until you find a way to get the MRI down from $7,000 to $1,500 where it ought to be. You can talk all you want, and you're getting no place. All you're doing is pointing fingers at other people to pay for your MRI. That will never work in the long run. That's my point. It's always been my point.
It works in every other civilized country.
What?
Single payer health care.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Because the price of the MRI is $1,500.
Well, I agree with you there. I mean, that's a whole other issue. And we're
that is the issue.
Well, I agree. That is the issue. I agree. But my point, but to say that socialized medicine doesn't work when every other civilized country does
but Bernie's
solution, just insane.
The Bernie solution.
And they have better health rates than we do.
That's my concern. I don't care if it's socialized or insured or people get to pay. As long as it's the right price.
We're in agreement there, but that's not what we were talking about. You just changed the rules of the game.
No, but Bernie's solution is get these other people to pay for the current fiasco. No, that's not 20%. We the country cannot afford 20 to 21% of the healthcare of the money going to healthcare when we're not even in the top five.
I agree with that 100%. But I think he is the only politician I've heard, or at least realistically, that will try to take on the big insurance companies.
He has no more.
Trump didn't.
He has
Obama didn't.
He has no record as being an independent of getting people around him. He has no more record of going against a big pharmaceutically than your pet Venkman.
Well, he hasn't had that level of power.
You got to be people have been able to do things like this in Congress. He hasn't, because he's hidden behind the
Who has been able to do that in Congress? Tell me, name one person.
He's hidden behind the independent.
Name one person who has been able to do that in Congress.
I'm saying, man, the dude has no support.
You just said he's winning in all the polls right now. What do you mean he has
no
support?
And he's going to get murdered in the election.
Well, you might be right. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to vote for him. I'm just saying to dismiss him and not understand why people identify with him, I think is
Oh, I understand. Actually, I'm the one that made the statement. And what I said was that it's interesting that he's very unpopular with people in his own generation.
He's unpopular with people
even with Democrats, even with some liberal folks in his own generation, and he really, I just was saying that, but he really does identify with young voters, which I think he's one of the oldest guys running right now. So I just made that comment.
He's one of the oldest guys on earth.
Yeah, he's 70.
All right, so
if I was a big Bernie supporter, and I think everybody thinks this is a subtle jab or try to put doubt in there. If I were a big Bernie supporter, I'd be worried that he's going to run himself ragged because he's always so
I was surprised
up, you know?
He ran again after what he went through in 2016 where he just got screwed by the party. I was surprised he ran again. But he's 78. Trump's 73. They're both old.
And I would
the average male lives to be 74, so they're both doing pretty well.
But once you make it to 60, then you're pretty much your expected life's like 88 or something.
Yeah, there's this weird
the actuarial tables.
It's once you hit like now that I hit 50, I'm stuck until like 90.
Yeah, well,
all right. The thought that I was having, and I want to go back to this one, and not the policy. And I understand why the younger people like Bernie. I really do.
If you're in your 30s and all you've seen is a growing deficit
And
just corporate tax cuts for the rich over and over and over again, I'm sorry, there was never a time where there was this blissful middle class in my lifetime. It just didn't exist. It's never existed in my lifetime.
Right, and I think I think you just backed into why, because there was at one time, for people that were my father's age, who was in his mid-80s.
That was when working people made a livable wage.
Right.
That's it. And simple as that. That's how you build a middle class.
I'm not sure that a lot of people think that the way that he wants to, that are of his generation, think that his way is the way to get there. And maybe part of it is they've given up on it ever getting back to
there. He's very basic. You know?
What worked, Chief? We had unions. We had Army bill, the
GI bill.
I drew a blank there. The GI bill, you had unions, you had a livable wage, you had obviously, things were more affordable back then, but people could work a factory union job and still make enough money for the wife to stay home and have a nice middle class living.
Yeah. In a decent house, take a nice, 1-2 week vacation every summer.
That is the only thing that Bernie is fighting for. That's it, right there.
All right, well,
no other politician out there is fighting for that.
All right, but the tactics If you've watched this like a movie for 60-some years like I have, it's instead of worrying about how much we're charging people for education and how much these bleeps at the University of Illinois are making, we're gonna raise the taxes on cigarettes. Okay, because, by the way, I don't smoke, so I'll raise it on cigarettes. And if you don't drink, we'll raise it on alcohol. Or if you're an alderman in a car, let's raise it on parking downtown.
I agree with you on all that.
But now what Bernie's doing is he's looking at the young people, and he's saying simply stupid stuff like, if we could only charge these rich people 5 cents a share every time they made a stock trade, you wouldn't have any student loan debt. Mandy, that's BS. And that's the message he's giving these people. If we can just find a way to get all this money out of these rich people, we can get rid of all. The rich people don't have $21 trillion to take up to take. I mean, come on, nobody does. You know, I'm saying the numbers don't add up. I'm not saying that this other group shouldn't share more. I get that part. I mean, nobody rails about this management class that doesn't seem to.
Oh, you guys were railing on it in the first hour.
The new chairman of the drug company wouldn't know the inside of a lab if he found himself in there, and yet somehow he deserves $100 million a year. No, nobody. I mean, at Pullman, the people on the line made $20,000, $21,000, and the chairman made $250,000. That's 11 times. Now what's the number? 1,000 times? 2,000? 10,000? I mean, I'm with you on all that stuff. But the idea that somehow, you know, your student loan debt, it's not because the school charged too much. It's because the rich people didn't give you enough to pay the tuition. That's just as insane as the other thing, is all I'm saying. It just appeals to them. It's just another flawed policy that'll never work. That happens to hit on the people. I mean, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. If I could find a way to put enough taxes on cigarettes to where all the debt problems of the world went away, if I was dumb enough or young enough or stupid enough to think that would work, that'd be perfect for me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I agree with everything you said.
Well, I'm saying, so Bernie, come on. The issue is, how are we going to get these costs down towards 15%? I mean, Carl is on record as saying that if it gets to 23 or 24, we fold if it gets that high. This year, the spending on Medicare and that stuff is up like 20% from that. It's some huge number. And yet, look out the window here. You can see two hospitals damn near. That if you go in there, you say, where's the patient care? Who spent $40 million on his lobby, right? I mean, that's the problem. Doctors don't even make anywhere near the money in the chain anymore. In my lifetime, when I was your age, if you'd have said, hey, imagine a world in the healthcare community that the doctors aren't even close to being the highest paid people, I'd say you're out of your mind.
You went to med school just because of the job security and making good money.
And now you have doctors that are broke. Mm-hmm. And yet the stuff that they're, you know, the doctor's charging, you know, $35 an hour, and yet your fee is $1,000. The overhead rates, you know, whatever. It's eight times what we were paying the guy. I mean, who would even have thought of that 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. But this is this whole thing, and I'll tell you what, I am very concerned, very concerned. I mean, you look these two guys together. I will say that if anybody has more stones of the two of them, it would be Trump. And Trump tried to, his first year in office, he tried to go up against his prescription drug thing. He ran back like if they slapped him like a 5-year-old.
The
same thing as Boeing. You know, he was going to put their feet to the fire. He didn't do crapo for them either. These guys must be so entrenched that I don't know. I'm not so sure Solomon or Caesar can deal with it. And this guy's no Solomon or Caesar, is all I'm saying. Would he be better than Trump? I don't know, probably. But we're not going to see any major change.
Well, and that's another thing.
I think we're going to see a complete 180.
Well, but that's
at least an aim.
Right. But in execution, and Matt said this like 3 or 4 times, that you get Bernie in there, the things that he's going to want to try and get done, he's going to have bipartisan blocking him.
Well, but
he just is.
I don't want another Democrat close to the place after what Obama did in our industry. And yet it wasn't just Obama. It was Bush. It was Clinton. We went from thousands of people here making markets to 3 or 4. Instead of having a whole bunch of people making some dough, we got 3 or 4 people making $1 million a day. You think Bernie's going to change that? Those people will still be there. He's not going to have the stones or the intelligence to say the problem in the industry is 5 people are making all the dough. Do you think that he's going to get Congress to change that when these guys have the ability to pay off what they can pay off? That all of a sudden you're going to be able to get a job as a market maker anymore? You're banned from the place, Matty. It's not like it's too hot, it's too expensive for you. You're banned. You walk in there, well, here's your feed. Yeah, but my feed has a stock trade a minute and a half behind your feed. Well, do the best you can.
There's no doubt that the big players in this industry have lobbied the little people out.
And you don't think it's happening?
I don't think that has anything to do with Bernie.
All right, so how many, okay, but I'm saying you have, how many combinations are there in the drug industry? In the last 10 years, if John Dyer was in here, he probably could rattle.
It's a corporate phenomenon. It's been going on. I'd probably have to research this, but I assume it began during the Reagan administration.
Yes.
I think it started before that.
But it could have started before
that.
Well,
he's the one who said, I'm not gonna do any
antitrust. Basically, we do not enforce antitrust whatsoever across all industries, and so what's gonna happen? The big are gonna get bigger and bigger and eat up the small, and that's just how it is. I mean, I don't know what you want me to do about it.
Do you think that if the people on this show right now, the three of us somehow ran, I mean, not three people can't run, but if we ran and our thing was, we were gonna. I mean, if Bernie's gonna blow off his mouth, let's blow it off, Bernie. Let's do it right. Let's say every one of the combinations in the last 5 years that have taken a generic drug and doubled the price in 6 months, I'm gonna arrest every one of those people on the board and everybody at the top of the place, and it's a felony. First of all, I bet we get killed during the campaign. Honestly,
oh, yeah.
I bet we get taken out. We surely don't get. I mean, if we're gonna come at this right, let's come at it right. Not one of these guys has the stones to say that. Not one. It's, well, let's tax these guys and let you off the hook on your stuff. I mean it's such BS. It's the same thing Trump does. They're doing the exact same thing. But we can't come out and say we're not going to let T-Mobile get together with Sprint. There's only four players. Don't even think about it. None of these guys has the stones to do that. Until you do, all you're doing is flipping back and forth from which side gets the dough. But there isn't anybody who is willing to do that, because guess what? He won't get the support. And if he did, he probably gets a bullet in his head. We've seen that happen a couple times. Right? But you think Bobby Kennedy got killed because Sirhan Sirhan didn't like him?
No.
I mean,
no. Bobby Kennedy got killed because he stood up to a lot of the types of people that you're talking
yes.
about right now.
Yes.
And he was, of all the people in that family, he was by far the biggest Boy Scout.
Yeah.
And they did not want that in the White House.
What do you think happens at Northwestern? I love the place. I've gone, you know, for a couple things. What do you think happens there if you and I decide as a county hospital, for lack of a better term, that the government gives county hospital however much it would need, $5 or $10 million, to have a building there. They got nothing but property where there's 10 MRI things in there, and they start doing them for everybody else for $800 a pop and doing a good job. What do you think the furor would be from Rush or Northwestern or University of Chicago saying, what are you guys doing? That number should be 6,000. What do you mean? We're making money at 800. I don't know what you guys are doing.
They're making lots of money.
Yeah, they're making lots of money.
No, I know some healthcare people that have worked at Northwestern, and it's a very profit-driven place.
Yeah, I mean, but this is what our country is not set up for on the money side. And I would love to, if I was back being a PhD guy like you, I would love to. It used to be that we counted on the shareholders and the boards of directors to essentially run the ship, okay?
Yeah.
Outside people. But now, these people, Commonwealth Edison, do you think they don't care about their shareholders? It's how much money they make.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think the University of Chicago or Notre Dame is not, that they're like a massive corporation without shareholders to essentially own up to? You could walk into Notre Dame tomorrow and give them $100 million. They wouldn't let you anywhere near the board or actually saying, what are you doing with $100 million? Well, that's none of your business.
No. The
arrogance is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's worse than a company. I mean, do you think anybody wants to challenge you? I mean, Matty, how many weeks do we go by without mentioning yet another hospital takeover?
It happens far too often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, am I a hater of Bernie? No, but, I mean, somehow or another, all this stuff seems to happen while whoever's really running the place.
Well, I think you should vote for Trump then, or Bloomberg, and they'll get it done.
No, it should have been Howard Schultz, but he got shouted off the stage.
Yeah, or well, I like the guy without the tie. What's his name?
Who, Yang?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. He's out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm just saying the enormity of the job, Mandy. What can I tell you? SP Futures now up 11. But don't worry. Just keep pouring money in. The market goes up. Everybody's rich. We're good. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.